Hey guys, it's your girl Mandy B from Horrible Decisions. And before we start this week's episode, I did want to give a trigger warning as you may come across content during this episode that you may disagree with, or an idea that makes you uncomfortable, or a statement that causes offense. We do not mean to offend anyone or their religious beliefs. Please keep in mind that the Bible is open for interpretation, and that is what you will hear in this week's episode. Now, let's get on with the show.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy B, aka Debt Bitch, aka Tripod Mommy.
Welcome, guys. Horrible Decisions. If you've never heard our show before, it's disgusting.
Not Click that off disgusting. Because of I
nasty,
have a boyfriend.
It's not. Swapping.
It's really not.
Congratulations.
It's
I'm
not,
disgusting, and I have one too.
It's not disgusting. I think it's, you know, quite normal.
You know who may have had a boyfriend? Someone in the Bible. Today, we're going to talk about, we had a lot of episodes where we cross-referenced religion. One of my favorites, we had Pastor Corey. He came in and talked a little bit about Christianity with us. However, we've never done an episode about celibacy and the origin of it, why we choose to be celibate, why people have talked about it, the difference with abstinence. But particularly, I thought it would be fun to talk about the Bible and references with sex, because I feel like the world has been grooming us for sex since BC, before Christ and before cock as we knew it. So, Brianda, we have her in the studio today.
Hi.
If you guys are patrons, you've heard of her. But if you haven't heard of her, tell us who you are, what your podcast is.
I always don't know, like, am I supposed to talk while you're talking? But my name is Brianda.
That's our stitch.
I know. Okay, that's cool. Wait, but I'm Brianda. I'm a podcaster, actor, and I love you girls. Both of these ladies have been on my program, Super Trip Talk.
Yes.
Literally,
a while ago.
Two episodes that, like, hit over 1,000 downloads. I'm not even kidding you.
Ooh.
But, like, seriously, you guys, your clout was amazing, but your presence was even better.
That's so sweet.
And yeah, I'm celibate, bitch.
That was me. Don't mind me.
That was God. He was like, don't be talking shit.
Yeah, God, that was God protecting me from you heathens.
So, oh, shit. Heathen, though.
You
harlots.
The celibacy is not the bulk of our episode, but just a way to, like, talk about this a little bit more with you, like, we've both had our separate conversations with Brianda about celibacy, but I still feel like I don't really get it all the time, because sometimes you present such we talk a little bit about, you know, celibacy in other episodes, and we've never really talked about why people want to do it. And even with you, sometimes I get confused because you give me a lot of sexual energy. Not me, but, like, I think you're a very sexy person and you're flirty. And I think we think, when we think celibate, like, oh my God, church girl, like, you know, a little chastity belt on her pussy. But tell us where it came from, because you've had sex before.
Oh, a lot of it. Yes, in many different ways. Like, I just think that when you pigeonhole any one group into, like, one thing, you'd be wrong. Like, there are nuances. People are different. Like, I do like being provocative. I'm in entertainment. I'm not wearing a bra right now. Like, I live freely.
Yeah.
And I live my life. But I'm not pigeonholed to this, like, you
I'm
know.
I'm not wearing a bra right now.
What? I'm far from prudish. But you get what I'm saying? Like, there's just more. I would love, with this episode, to just expand people's minds to people who choose to abstain from having sex. And they're not this, like, prudish, like, boring. Also, I swear, which I'm trying to stop, but I swear. I speak provocatively. You say I flirt. I mean, I don't think I flirt, but I've been told I'm a little coquette. But honestly, I think that me being celibate makes me more flirty, because I know nothing would ever happen. I just want to connect with people. And sometimes that comes off a different kind of way towards some.
I mean, so we interviewed Fran during quarantine, and something that I see that you keep going back and forth between is using the word celibate and using the word abstain, which is what abstinence is. So I guess we spoke with Fran about being abstinent. What then is the difference, do you see? Because right now you're interchanging both of the words.
I'll explain it.
Yeah,
So when I started, it was only abstinence. Like, I wasn't even Christian when I decided I'm going to take a break.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I refuse to use celibate. Celibate is when you're doing it for the religious reasons,
right.
Which today I would say that is why. But it started, to answer, like, your first question, I wanted to be celibate because I wanted to figure out why I felt fucking shame and guilt every single time I would masturbate or have sex with someone. Like, why did I feel these sensations of guilt? Yeah. And I wanted to figure it out because I didn't feel guilty, but the sensations were comparable, right? And
what do you mean, like you come and then you feel bad?
Hell yeah. Like, or sometimes I'd cry. No, sometimes I'd just feel terrible. And I would be like, I don't know why I'm having sex with my boyfriend. Like, I don't get it. But I sought therapy. Mm. I wanted to figure that out.
I wanted to know if you went to therapy because yes. I wanted to know if maybe that stemmed from some sort of trauma that you hid in the back of, you know, your mind or
Mandy,
something.
Mandy, let me tell you something. Okay. I grew up in an immigrant household.
Oh, we talked about
my
it.
My dad, yes. My mom, yes, and my sister. So all three of them were sexually abused or diddled as children. All of them. I was the only one in my household that didn't. So in my house, we didn't, only did we not talk about sex, but sex was almost really like a taboo thing because the older people around me were dealing with their own conflicts and pains.
Right.
So if anything, it was avoided. Even as a kid, like I said, I wasn't diddled as a kid, but, and I hate saying, I don't want to, that's a distasteful joke, but I remember I would try and make connections with my family and I'd be like, please love me. Come and talk to me. Touch me. Attention. Yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't get that. I think that's why I want to be an actor.
Right.
Because I want attention. I'm a narcissist. I'm vain. I like, you know what I mean? I just want attention all the time. I didn't get that as a kid. It's almost like I recognized love by neglect. And these are things that I had to learn by isolating the sex from me just so it could make my life a little easier.
So now that sex is gone.
Yeah.
Right? How long has it been?
A little over 2 years.
Now that it's gone, what would be the thing that would let you have sex again, right? Like, would it be marriage? Would it be a serious relationship? Someone who's worthy? What is it?
For sure. That's a tough question. But as it stands today, because I wanted to prepare for this session today, I'm going to go ahead and say it would be marriage.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Or can I be honest with you? I would have to know that we were getting married. I'm talking about, I've met your family, you've met my family.
Like, can I ask you though? And this is.
And I don't want a wedding.
Hold on, because I want to get into this though.
Hit me.
Because you're waiting for marriage. You're like, I have to make sure I met his family, he met mine. But then what does marriage mean to you? What does marriage constitute to you? Because to a lot of people, including myself right now, it is just a business. It's a transaction for financial, you know, taxes, essentially. That's really it. Because I have openly talked about, unfortunately, being someone on the receiving end of love from a married man. I've gotten financial gain from a married man without being married. And also even, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Real Housewives of Potomac, but she sat here and had these vows, got a prenup, and now she's discussing a postnup with her husband. So I just want to know what does marriage signify for you that's what you're waiting for?
For sure. So I think I have the benefit of having a more secular upbringing and never wanting to get married. Like, I've only ever wanted a career and to take care of my family. That's just been it. And I think that kind of sets me up in a way that opens my eyes to what marriage could be. I've never had this idea of like a grand wedding or whatever. I don't even really want it. For me, marriage is having a foundation of like love and trust and devotion, and also a devotion to, honestly, your spirit, yourself, whatever that may be. Like, they don't need to necessarily practice Christianity per se, but they need to have a connection to their spirit and themselves. I need that hands down because that's what I need for my family. So when you ask me what is marriage to me, I would say like marriage really is a bond between me and my partner and spirit, like God,
right?
Whatever that is for them. And wait, get this. The gnarliest part about celibacy is that if you meet the right person, you get to figure out ways to love each other and show each other affection that are outside of our
sex.
Genitalia.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And then the sex is just a cherry on top, I'm sure.
You know, I think I've had deeper connections with women because there's no penetrative sex. It sounds weird, but like with women, I've grown closer to them initially, right? I think the intimacy that I've had with, you know, the lovers and not even lovers, I'd say boyfriends I've had, the intimacy came after sex and after a lot of sex. But with women, I can recall like getting closer before we had sex. Because with women, I feel like you never know. If you're a bi person, like sometimes you're like, is this my homegirl? Is it not? And we get closer and closer and closer. And that is really the only thing that sometimes makes me want to wait when having sex with men. But to be honest, I think a lot of the times that I don't is because the more and more that I do this show, I realize sex can be something I can enjoy and table it and leave it. So I don't mind having sex with someone if I don't feel like I'm connecting with them that deeply, because I can just enjoy and live in that and not feel guilty about it.
Understood. Now, that the whole guilt thing is going to be a lifelong journey of mine to, you know, navigate, much like a lot of our internal child traumas.
Everybody. We all have felt guilty after we fucked someone. Like, ugh, why'd I do that? Or was
for
it
sure.
worth it?
Now, I have a question for you two. And because...
Come on, podcast. Yes, wait, I got a question for y'all.
That's the funniest thing with doing shit with podcasters.
Well, because I think it'll help the listeners really understand celibacy at its core. So, Mandy first.
Yes.
How long has it been, or how long have you ever been celibate or like abstained from having sex by choice?
So y'all know, it was during like quarantine.
And how long was that?
I would say realistically about 4 months since I've like was probably the longest that I went from.
Why did you do it?
Well, first off, bitch, I was locked in my house.
Okay.
And then,
facts.
And in the beginning, I'm not going to lie, a part of me was like, oh my God, dick isn't available. I want to fly some in. And immediately I went to like realizing like, okay, none of these niggas are worth my time. Like, let me find myself during this time. And
time.
Even when I was speaking to friend, and during that time I was, you know, not having sex. It was before I met my boyfriend. And I really found ways in which I did probably start and continue relationships that didn't have value to me. And I also noticed that I was maybe giving a lot of people my time that didn't deserve it. And I did realize that in the stint of just not giving myself to anyone. So yes.
Wait, now, Wheezy, how long was yours? And had you ever done it by choice, practice abstinence?
So I did it to heal from a breakup. And then after it went a certain amount of time, then I did it by choice. Because I feel like the circumstance of the breakup is why I just started saying I was celibate and using the word celibate as not using abstinent, but I now realize it was abstinence.
It's abstinence.
But started just not doing it and was like, oh, I need to heal from this breakup. And then it was like, okay, no, I need to take it away because then I'll know if I could do it or not. So making awesome. That active choice was fun. But
you use the word healing and you use the word like waste of time and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, ladies, that is literally what I'm doing, but I'm taking it a step further. Like that's, but it's exactly the same thing.
Because you're not even masturbating, correct?
No, I'm not. I do not masturbate.
All right, girl.
Have you gotten close?
Shit.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to talk about it now, but
yeah, we do.
Okay, fine. I was virtually dating this guy. Oh, asshole. You want to go like check him out. It's on my podcast. It's called Quarantine Bay Ghosted Me because he fucking did, asshole.
How do you get ghosted in quarantine, sis?
Bruh,
that is hilarious.
I don't know. He was a Cornell lawyer, asshole.
Where do you think he went, though? Niggas couldn't go
asshole,
nowhere.
6'5".
Just, it's important. What?
Where the hell he went?
Because he ghosted me and he knew about my celibacy. I'm talking, we would speak for 8 hours a week. Like during quarantine, I really did fall for him and I fall in love easy, right? And I like masturbated for the first time in years, like with him. It was the very first time I've ever done that. And for the first time, I didn't feel guilt or shame. So I was like, whoa, I'm not broken! but he broke my heart and I don't masturbate now. No, he did not break my pussy.
Oh.
But
you did though. You were playing with that thing.
Listen, and this is to say I don't masturbate, but I will say I still get horny. Like one of my favorite things to do is watch videos of men crying. It just turns me on. And then when I do, the next morning I'm humping my pillow.
Can I ask you, what do you type in to find videos of men crying?
That's a great question, Mandy.
I will say the only time that I see men cry is during the NBA fucking finals.
Oh, that's so hot. I get it.
Tears? I just use it for the range in video.
Let me tell you.
Sports tears, someone died.
No, but I've done it and I get that. But no. So I'll research. Like grooms looking at their brides walking down the aisle. Oh, that is my
wait. You Googled
that's
it?
My kink.
On YouTube?
I YouTube all of it. I've seen it all.
Not man
and
tears.
Listen, the next morning if I see that, like my panties will be so wet.
My panties. Oh my goodness. And I don't think is it pantalones?
No, that's
pants.
That's pants.
What is pants?
Oh my bilingual honeys. What?
Yeah, right.
Bitch. Because you know I'm Mexican.
I know.
Listen,
your English
y'all
is very good.
Tell me those 3 months in Mexico doesn't mean I am not Mexican, nigga.
You're so stupid.
I'm serious. We had to, I had to call to get the electricity turned on for the crib and saloon. as we're going back. Mm-hmm. And the guy's on the phone. He's like, well, let me tell you how it works. Please, I don't need you to say anything. I've been there. I know. I've done it. I know exactly what happened. So, like, please, I'm from Tulum, basically. Like, I know.
Yes, you're, yes.
Look it up.
I hear stupid.
You should have seen me when I got pulled over. I was like, I know Sergio. Okay. Listen. I just started naming people. They're like, bitch, we don't give a fuck.
You guys, look, when I see you guys, I want to speak Spanish. And I don't. I mean, it's because you guys are light skinned.
That's what we
need. It's because you guys are light skinned black people.
But see, I don't like that. I
just light skinned
black.
You
know what's crazy? I think I have trauma with that because I remember in middle school.
I do, because I ain't
Spanish. No, seriously, there's trauma. I would get a substitute teacher and they'd say my name and, you know, I maybe either ask if I was Latina or something. And I'd be like, no, I'm black. And he's like, but your name, it comes from Latin, Amanda. And I said, but it's Amanda. It ain't Amanda, nigga. Like, and
is
I would
Amanda
be
a Latin name?
Yeah, it comes. It's a, there's a Latin. It's that's what
I
he
don't
said.
I don't know what he said.
Look it up. I swear to God.
I don't know.
Look it up. They said Amanda came from like Puerto Rico or something.
Yo, they lied origin. To you.
Maybe he did.
He said this shit came from Puerto Rico or something.
I don't know. But okay. he was trying to tell
wow.
me.
Wow. Do you know what your name means?
Love. I know.
No. Lust. Deserving to be loved. Very
and
sweet.
I do deserve to be
that's
loved.
That's beautiful.
And I'm getting that loving that's, right now.
Yes,
just
you
so
are.
Just so you know, that's
Latin.
Why I'm happy.
I love you so much.
Biblical meaning of it. For love is God.
All of that.
Oh,
that's why I'm God's chosen. That's why I'm
oh
God's
God.
Chosen.
Come to Bible study.
I will not.
With me. Okay, that's fine.
Girl, I used to be a mission. I used to actually have to memorize verses of the Bible and I would get little
oh, really?
I would get little patches
name
on
one,
a
go.
Sash. Oh, bitch, I forgot that shit now.
It's hard.
But
it's tough.
Because it used to be a competition for me, to be honest. So the fact that even the way I learned the Bible, because if I learned it and I memorized it, I had to say it in front of the class. It would be on Wednesdays, missions. And I had a satchel and you would literally get like Girl Scout badges for every like book of the Bible that you learned and recited. It was really
sweet.
It was yeah, it was kind
of oh
weird.
Yeah, no, I didn't do any of that shit when I was little.
Yeah,
like, I didn't go to church and have any religion.
Well, for our vanilla shit this week.
Oh, we get into it. Wait, we got an outline? Shit.
I want you guys to know that I don't do voice because it no,
oh
it, it's not good.
Here we go.
But, you know, the police in Vietnam.
Someone's offended. Someone's offended.
First of all, for all sure. the Asians that listen to this show, they love me. There's like three of them, one girl.
So we only got three Asians, 26 white people?
I don't know. Like... So one girl, we have Fanny that I know about.
Okay,
and some girl
yeah.
wrote me, she was like, LOL, my name ain't Fanny. And I was like, bitch, okay, well, you never do. I don't know who you are. Okay. So
oh
the police
God.
In Vietnam seized, this is disgusting, but a bunch of people tagged us in this on Twitter, 345,000 used condoms that were cleaned and sold as new.
What?
Yes. So footage was broadcasted on their television, like on their newscast. With large bags containing contraceptives scattered across the floor of a warehouse in Binh Dong. And police said the bags weighed more than 794 pounds, equivalent to 345,000 condoms. I'm sorry, I'm looking at a picture, but that's why I can't
excuse me?
The owner of the warehouse said they received a monthly input of used condoms from an unknown person, and basically they cleaned it. A woman was detained during the bust and told the police that they were boiled in water, then dried and reshaped on a wooden phallus before being repackaged and resold.
Shut the fuck up.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Just,
shut the fuck up.
Just being a contrarian.
This is gross.
When we drink water.
Yes.
It's filtered.
Yes.
So someone shit in it before.
Okay, I don't know. You shouldn't
that's
look
true.
At it like that.
But it is.
Nah.
But it is. Like in spaceships, I only know because for fact's sake, NASA episode. But in spaceships, basically their pee and their shit is all filtered through and it's cleaned through a system to come out as clean water. And that's the water that we drink as well. It's sewer water and it's filtrated and they clean it.
But they be getting our water from other places too, like springs. Like Zephyr Hills is from a spring and our like,
I'm just saying,
shit don't go into springs.
Bro, but they reuse the water. It's reclaimed water.
Just watching you two go.
But what I'm saying is reclaim condoms.
No, bro, that is, I am not.
Vintage, like archive.
You know what's crazy though?
Vintage condoms.
But the way we use condoms, even as soon as we, like, say during sex, as soon as you pull it off, it's not even reused. Like, it doesn't even really go back on to secure the same
way. Well, I guess that's why they're cleaning it, boil the shit. Maybe it shrinks it back up.
She said boil.
Have you ever had a nigga try to reuse a condom? They ran out because I have, and I remember getting mad.
There's no more.
Because when you're sucking,
yeah,
dick
and there's
you're
just
switching.
No, there's just no more. Well, I've done the mistake of taking a condom off to suck it in between, and him being like, so I don't have any more. Then why did you let me take it off?
Wait, you don't suck it with the condom on?
Ma'am.
Is that on?
Ma'am.
You
know, I don't want to taste the condom.
I don't know what to do.
I mean, but I ended up tasting the condom sometimes anyways, because
whatever
the inside casing is the taste on the dick, which is why everyone was like, well, how do you know what a Magnum tastes like? As soon as you pull it off, that inside casing is what I'm tasting in my mouth. Them gold wrapper condoms is nasty.
Okay, I love that makes sense.
Ones.
Which ones? I'm just going to take notes.
I mean, right. Look, take notes.
I hope that y'all need one, girl.
Right, because you're supposed to be married.
I'm just kidding, jokes. I'll never need one.
So do you, like, even track your ovulation or anything, or your body?
I actually have the IUD in. I'm taking it out next month, and I feel like I'm going to get more Christian once it's out. I don't know.
Really? More Christian once your IUD is out? What does that mean?
I'm just fucking around here.
No.
Yeah, it is. There's two. So there's one that's called... The Mirena is hormonal. The
so when you take it out, you're going to be wanting to have sex.
Well, I guess we'll see. I don't know.
The copper one is non-hormonal.
Check back in next month.
I will tell.
But yeah, no, I've had it for 5 years. It's got to come out. I also want to let my body do its thing. I'm 27 now, and my body's doing weird things. Like, I'll hold my belly like I'm pregnant, or like I'll like hold my cat like it's my little baby, like on my titty and stuff. Do you guys know? No,
girl, and I got Bodie, and I don't be holding him.
Oh, I do.
I hold dogs like that.
I want to be a mom.
I be cussing that motherfucker. Oh. It's so funny because my friends are like, you sound like a black ass mama with your cat. Because I'll be like, Bodie, you don't get your motherfucking ass off that. That's how I talk
to
him.
Me too.
And he knows as soon as I get up and go like this, he just runs.
How long have you had your cat?
Since it's a quarantine kitty.
So
I've
new.
Had it since April.
Why did that sound like your vagina hasn't been waxed? It's a quarantine kitty. How long you had your cat?
3 years.
Well, for the rest of the Negroes that listen to this show, I am not in that boat at all.
Black people have cats, bro. Don't do
very
this.
I know. Small I love my cat. She saved my life.
Okay, so no.
Emotional support.
I think
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, emotional support is why I got Bodie.
Yeah, oh my God, my dog. Cat's name is Melancholy.
You said what?
You couldn't got a dog.
No, because a dog I would have had to
actually
get like
boyfriend and gotten rid of the cat.
A babysitter. I met my boyfriend right after the cat and I was like, damn, Bodie, now I don't even need your ass. I was mad as fuck.
You got Bodie and boyfriend.
I want a boyfriend.
I got both at the same time. I ain't gonna hold you.
Would some of the whorehive men, like, are they, if there's anyone out there, like, I'm definitely checking DMs.
But y'all gotta get a ring, ho.
Speaking of whorehive men, I just want to make a point.
What?
I went out with Brianna a few weekends. We hang out at a bar around her crib. And she left once or went to the bathroom and someone said to me, one of the bartenders, he's like, why are you doing this every weekend with her fucking going out and shit? You know, she ain't trying to get down like that. I'm like, just because she loves Jesus don't mean I can't twerk. Nigga, the fuck? Like, she be fine. I'm sorry. This shit don't bother me at all.
First of all, I'm fine.
Wait, he said, why do you do this to her?
Because, like, Brianna was like, oh, I shouldn't have came out. She had a little bandana on her head. I'm like, whatever, bitch.
I had just finished praying. Like, I was like, I'm not going to go out.
So, wait, do you drink liquor?
Yeah, I do drink. I do drink. I eat edibles. I do mushrooms. You guys know I have a psychedelic
podcast. Right. I'm getting high. And so I'm like, do you want some or not? And she's like, no, I'm okay. I was like, okay, fine. I don't care. To me, like, if I hang with someone and they know who I am, they fuck with me. Yeah. It's kind of like when you hang with a vegan. Like, if they're cool.
Oh, I don't hang with them.
I have a few
they embarrassing. No, I'm just playing.
But like, if they know that I'm going to eat meat and they fine with it, I don't give a fuck. There's no funny
Can I tell you how annoying? My friend, one of my best friends who's coming to celebrate my birthday with me, we getting like ceviche on the boat, right? This bitch don't eat shellfish. Oh. They said, well, we can substitute with hummus. I said, no, we cannot. I said, bitch, you better bring your own snacks because we getting the ceviche. And then she doesn't eat meat. So they offered burgers and ceviche.
So
I said, okay. I said, bitch, for you, we'll do the little vegan burgers, the little fake shits. But
the black vegan burgers be okay. Everything else they have.
Bitch.
Again. You know what? I love you, when we can
bro,
do this.
You know
was
they gonna
God
get
a vegan? Was he? Was
no,
Jesus?
No, he wasn't.
Okay, well, let me make this point.
Because I think that picture on the table, they had pork, right? Yeah. They had a big old pig.
What they have done is come for us too much. Oh, you guys are ridiculous. Da-da-da-da-da. Shut the fuck up, bitch. We over here eating chickens, doing our duty generationally. Mm. Our ancestors wanted me to eat chickens. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want y'all to have cats, but it is what it is.
But wait, not even chicken. And I feel bad because my nigga don't even eat pork. So when we went to the little Mexican spot, I said, could I have the al pastor? He was like, what is pastor? I said, nothing.
Wait, what is pastor?
Bitch, pork with pineapples.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's pastor. Al pastor.
I think al pastor can
pastor
be...
Pastor is... It's pork and pineapple.
Must be... No, like, al pastor is not pork and pineapple.
Al pastor is
it's
pork...
It's the type of...
is a type of pork.
I believe it's the way the meat is cut.
Ain't it, it's pastor is pork, right?
No, I don't think
you guys,
so.
I am too poor for this. I don't know.
No, it's not. Finish. Bitches, this is from a Mexican restaurant. Real they be pork. Cheap.
Real pork tacos.
Told you, pork tacos.
It could
tacos.
Be lamb, too, though, it says.
Nah. It's
based on lamb shawarma bought by Lebanese.
Based on lamb shawarma.
Brought to Mexico.
Brought to Mexico, and them Mexicans were putting pork in that thing.
I have Benson. Some al pastor halal, guys. That's why I thought it was lamb.
We got the Mexican question me about the al pastor. Well, you need a little bit more time in Mexico.
Well, I know they pineapple. So anyway, all right, for the hors d'oeuvre, I want to talk about blowjobs. I think we're going to need to revamp and do an episode about this because this is a very basic tip, but you guys don't seem to know it. When you're sucking dick, men, women, whoever has a mouth that they're about to put on something that's shaped like a dick, if it's a real dick and not a strap, keep in mind, okay, a lot of the times it's easy to stay right at the tip. And I feel like we look at, you know, tips online or people are always talking about the frenulum and all these parts about how, like, you know, the head is very sensitive. The base of the dick being dry is not sexy at all. And you got to use the rest of your mouth. Also, a lot of people are worried about their gag reflex. Never have I ever heard a nigga say in my life, and excuse me if I'm overstepping here, say, I don't want to hear this sound and it bothers me so badly that I don't want you to get to the rest of my dick. Please stop worrying about the gag because you should put some effort in. You know what I'm saying? I think that men enjoy when it looks like you may be trying to die on it. Put the dick in your mouth. I've seen
that
more.
That tip is hilarious.
More fucking men, like, I mean, more tip. Porn lately where like bitches are just staying right here and doing like a little, no. No, put some effort. Put it in your mouth. Would you want someone to fuck you with a half dick? You wouldn't want to be fucked with a half dick, would you? So don't suck a half dick. Put it in your mouth. Also, when it's in your mouth, make sure your tongue is out as well. Because if you're just sucking it, Benson could do that. That's his job to put the vocals in the back.
Oh, my bad. I was trying to do it so we ain't get
when the dick is in your mouth, right? And this is very important. Make sure that your tongue can be felt on it because that's another sensation in itself. Because, right, your mouth is technically a cave, and that's really what it's doing when like it's making the shape, right? Like they're putting it in a cave, but they want to know.
Girl, you don't
like,
you don't do nothing.
They want to know that it's
to learn.
It's a wet cave.
I'm so bad.
So if you take your tongue out and you like have it sticking out while you suck dick, mm-hmm. the dick will get wetter, you'll get more saliva coming out, but not only that, it'll be a different sensation from just this hollowy cave mouth thing you have.
Okay,
sticking out your tongue while
and
sucking
I'd imagine
dick.
When it hits the back of the throat, you salivate a little more, giving you more juice,
right?
Question though.
It's just like if you had your mouth open right now and you were supposed to hold it open, right? It's going to start dripping. So like the wider that you put your mouth and the more that the tongue is out, that's really what.
Oh, sick. I didn't know that.
I'm just going to start drooling.
So I have really low self-esteem. So like when I'm with a guy, every guy has ever. So listen, any guys look at me when I'm giving them head.
They're
or when
supposed
I used to
look at
wait,
you.
But listen to me. No, they look at me like I'm a homeless person asking for change. Like, oh, just come back up here. Like they just.
Oh.
Just come. It's fine. Just
well,
stop.
So are you nervous when you suck dick?
I just, I'm insecure about my abilities.
Why?
I just don't feel like I know what I'm doing.
So it's so funny because my tip was going to be for the ladies who don't like to gag like myself. My boyfriend definitely likes to gag because I'll have to hit him in his face because he likes to like make me go down there and gag. So what I do to avoid this is I fake gag. So I'll like act.
What? That's actually really funny though.
So my tip for the ladies who really hate gagging, but you know your partner likes you to gag, just fake gag. So I'll literally still be at the head and be like, and I just make fake noises like I'm gagging, but I'm really not. And I'd be like, and I just make all these little fake gag noises because I don't want to die sucking dick.
Do you guys switch tempo and stuff?
Yeah, I'll do that. Like, really what I do, though, and I noticed this because he made me give him a hand job one time. He was like, I want to see if you can make me come with a hand job. Like, no mouth, no nothing. And I realized, too, how much more firm he wanted me to grip his dick because he was pretty much telling me what he likes. So instead, I know a lot of us just go up and down, but a lot of men actually like you to kind of, you
how
know, squeeze
did
it.
Did he come?
He did.
How long
he
did it take?
Oh, forever. I was like, nigga.
My
nigga,
arm.
You better come. And then so what I would do without putting my mouth on it, I went to the top and like would make my spit fall, but I could only do it with my hand. He was like, I want to see if you could do it. And it did. It took a while, but
my hand
with
be
that,
killing
but with that, I learned even just the pressure he liked for me to apply on his shaft. Mm. So now I feel like that helped me know when I am sucking his dick, even if I am staying at the top, I know he likes it to be squeezed a little harder than I thought he would have liked
remember,
it to be squeezed.
But remember, keep in mind, like when men wear cock rings and shit like that, or they take pills, it's blood flow. So when you're squeezing it tighter, like they're feeling the blood flow. And I'm not saying squeeze the fucking head off of the dick and make it erupt, but I'm not
going to. We want it to erupt.
Old babe has always told me, like if it's early in the morning and he's not hard yet or whatever, like he always tells me to squeeze it and it's boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So squeezing it is definitely like a tip to add.
The first question when I go on dates with guys and I like let them know on the first or second,
me neither,
I got you,
at all,
that I'm celibate, like the first thing they'll ask is like, they'll be like everything?
so like, hand jobs too?
Like, or no, they'll ask like you oral? No. And I'm like, no, no. Why would I want that? I would drive myself crazy. I don't want to make this harder for me.
I hate when people say like, when you're on your period, they'll make like a joke about it.
And well,
like,
your mouth ain't. No, that doesn't work either.
Like, yeah. The fuck? And it's funny because Mandy and I were just saying, I don't know, was it last week or whatever, we've had some guests on that don't like sucking dick. And it's true. I feel like such a bitch because I'd be like, I don't understand.
I don't understand it either.
I don't. Maybe that's why we have this job. But I truly do not.
You like it because you're good at it. I don't like it because I'm not good at
valid.
It.
I don't think so.
Valid. That's what it is.
Valid? No, Brianna, I think
I'm
so.
Big enough to admit that.
Thank you.
To tell me, y'all heard it a few episodes ago. I think it was with Red that I was fucking nicked his dick with my teeth. But in my defense, we actually circled back to this conversation. I was like, look, I brought this up on an episode. We need to talk about it again. He said he's never, ever had a girl never felt teeth on his dick.
But yeah, because you said it's huge as fuck.
But right. That, sucking that dick, can you imagine how insecure I would feel? Right? But also, I'm in it for myself.
Wow, you're so brave.
Thank you. You know, there's Band-Aids in the house. Who gives a fuck? Oh,
Nick better not be putting no Band-Aid on his dick.
So,
yo.
We're going to get into the horrible decision this week. And
oh, she got her notes, baby.
I do.
Look, she came ready, baby.
I called it Bible bussy because there's so much gay stuff in the Bible. But really, I thought it would be fun because we talked about Christianity and some of the hypocrisy and how there's a lot of welcomeness in there with Pastor Corey. But specifically, I thought it'd be cool to talk about stories of sex in the Bible. Mandy and I have a dope episode called Hostory on Patreon where we talked about all the sex stories from back in the day that we found a lot of prostitution and shit like that. But Brianda's going to teach us today about some little skanky stories in the Bible.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I didn't know I was going to be the teacher. Mind you guys, I am not a minister, pastor. I'm not a theologian.
Okay, so you read it.
All right. So I wanted to talk about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why don't we just go there?
Okay.
Sodomy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which we all know. What is sodomy?
Fucking in the ass.
When you put a broomstick on a nigga ass.
Sure.
Why is it a broomstick?
I don't know. Just because like, I thought it was like sodomy.
It's a bunch of things. It's also bestiality.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's also bestiality.
Yeah. If you look up sodomy in the dictionary, it's like a number.
And it's considered anal sex too. But
anal too.
I thought it was anal sex.
But
that's the first one. But there's
sodomy in the dictionary says sexual intercourse involving anal or oral copulation.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, even if your mouth is on the axe and on the ass. Then it's fucking.
And I know objects too.
It's so everything. Like,
stay away from the booty hole.
Exactly.
You would not like that.
I like being by the booty hole.
Which brings me to the story of Sodom. So I wanted to like really go for the more extreme story. This story and the story in Judges, these are the really ones that like people even skip. But not every story in the Bible is like this, by the way. Do not let this dissuade you from reading the Bible.
Okay.
So God realized that everyone in Sodom and Gomorrah was doing wicked things, quote unquote, wicked things, killing, gang raping their daughters, giving their children. Like, I'm talking about a lot of really heinous, vile things. And God went to his homie, Abraham. Abraham for the Jews.
Hey now.
Hello.
The father of the covenant, you know, the father of all nations, the father of Israel. And he went to him and he was like, bruh, I'm about to put Sodom on lockdown and burn that shit down. And Abraham was like, whoa, whoa, why? Whoa, whoa. I know you've done it before, but like, let's talk about this.
Okay.
And then God was like, okay, listen, this is what they're doing, X, Y, Z. And then he said, okay, Abraham was like, God, wait, let's talk about this. Well, what if there were 1,000 righteous men? Are you going to burn them all down too? And God was like, all right, let me check. And then God was like, okay, there's not 1,000 good people down there. What are you talking about? And then Abraham was like, okay, wait, check. What about 500? What if there are 500 good people down there? You're just going to burn them all away too? And then God was like, all right, fine, let me check. Checks. Still not even 500. And then Abraham's like, 10? He goes and he goes, motherfucker, there aren't even 10 righteous people down there. It's going down. And then he said, okay, wait, my nephew Lot is down there. Please spare him. You know, Abraham, that's really what Abraham was trying to get at.
Right.
Because Abraham's family was sacred in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament.
Okay.
So God goes, all right, I will hook your nephew and his family up. He sends down two angels to Sodom, two angels, and they meet at the court square. Mind you, the court square is where it's popping. It's
right, like where everybody meets.
Where everyone congregates. It's where they all do
the Lower East Side.
Exactly. The Lower East Side of New York City, yes. And then they see, Lot sees them, and he sees like other people approaching them like they're about to bait them. Because in this town, if they see new people, new men specifically, that's what
they
it is.
They were going for that
hell
hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then you know what Lot does? Lot goes, nah, y'all gotta come. You can't come to the court square. Come to my house, please. This is a depiction of hospitality, which people don't talk a lot about. But he was being hospitable to these two angels.
Okay.
He brings them in, and the angels tell him, all right, y'all got to go because God's about to burn this shit down. Let's pack it up. Let's go. Abraham's like, whoa, hold on. What? No, I'm not ready. I mean, Lot, his nephew, was like, I'm not ready. I haven't even packed my things. Like, I got my daughters here. And then all of a sudden, in Lot's home in Sodom, they hear, the whole town is outside of Lot's house. And I'm talking about people from all ages, men, women, old, young. And they're like, hey, bring out those two guys we saw y'all go in there with. Bring them out.
They must have been fine.
And you want to know what they said in the... let's pray for Mandy real quick.
Sorry, go ahead. I'll listen.
So the people in the town go, bring them out. We want to get to, quote unquote, know them carnally, which in biblical terms means anal.
Ooh. I told you they was fine.
Yes.
Okay.
And Lot was like, no, you cannot. Because Lot did not partake in these things. Lot was like, okay, wait, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
What if I give you my two daughters instead? Like, please.
What?
I know. So that's that a goes very to common
show
thing.
Not, but that shows that he's not really as righteous or good either.
But we have to also judge him based off of the where the time
okay,
was. That
gotcha.
Was very common, especially like with concubines. They would get, listen, we talk about the gays having the shit end of the stick. We talk about women in
women
the Bible.
Women and children.
Yeah,
right,
and,
right,
yeah.
Right,
let's
right.
talk about that. But anywho, so he offers them that and they're like, no. And then the angels are like, we got to get going now. They end up planning their escape. It's Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And they plan out their escape to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the angels tell them, all right, listen, we are going to go straight ahead and you cannot so much as look back at the old town. And Abraham was kind of, Lot was kind of hurt because Lot lived in Sodom for a really long time. And he kind of felt hopeful for those people. He almost felt like, I don't know, maybe he could like fix them or there was hope for them or something. And the angels were like, no, there's not. And God has made his decision. Go. So they end up walking. It's everyone. And as they're walking, Lot's wife turns back to look and God has already started. The second they're out, God's starting.
Damn.
Just pellets of sulfur. Flames. It's a scary sight. And his wife sees. His wife, Lot's wife, defies what the angel said. And then she turns into a pillar of salt. Like a salt statue. And that's it. Abraham's like, God damn, why'd you have my wife? What's going on? Angels were like, we weren't kidding when we said, don't look back at your past. You have to keep going forward. Anyways, that's how he gets out of Sodom. That's the story of Sodom.
Brianda. I need to produce a podcast of you telling Bible stories.
For sure.
Oh, I would love to. It's
for
my favorite thing.
Sure.
Please. I am telling you, I'm not fucking around.
For sure. That was great.
I would invest my own money
that was
into
great.
Benson fucking recording your face.
That was great.
Motherfucker, let's go. And then the angels came down.
You know, some would say it's blasphemous for me using swear words. I'm not perfect, but whatever.
But you know,
I'm an entertainer first.
It, and I think that it's all about the times, right? Like,
I'm an entertainer.
When you are like trying to speak to a certain group of people and a certain demographic that will digest this better, like our listeners are going to enjoy this more
but
than
bitch,
if you
right.
did
the
in
fact,
another
the
place.
The fact that I was really like,
oh,
what happened
that.
There?
You guys didn't, wait, you guys didn't even hear the end of it.
Oh, wait, oh, I just know the bitch turned into soul.
Wait, no, listen. That's okay. The end of kind of like, and Sodom was destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah and some neighboring towns. But y'all, so now it's Lot and his two daughters that are left.
Okay.
And they're thinking that it's like the end of the world. Imagine knowing that.
Right.
They end up going to this cave in a place called Zoar. And their father is, you know, Lot is very old. The sisters plot and they go, all right, we need to save our family line because their family line is like sacred. They're like, no, we need to. And
they ain't go to fuck they daddy.
Now let me continue.
Hold on, bitch.
The eldest daughter talks to the younger daughter and was like, sister, and was like, we gotta fuck dad. We gotta get him.
Oh my God.
Wait, you guys. She goes, we gotta get him drunk and we gotta do it.
Wait, Andy took advantage.
The first night, the eldest got her father drunk and did the deed. And then the next night, the younger sister went in, got the father drunk again.
Can I know real quick? Not that you memorized it.
Yeah.
But does it say, art thou poured wine upon thy glass for thy father? And then, like,
in so many words, the scripture is kind of like King's, biblical poetry. Yeah, right. And I don't have it memorized per se, but it's something along the lines of, I was handicapped by the wine or something. Oh, like in it. So many words, I was incapacitated by the wine, which like, really, dad? Really? Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Shut up.
Well, he ended up, yeah. He ended up coming in both of them. They both got pregnant.
So the whole incest is all up in the Bible. Okay, I might want to read the Bible
but
now.
But you have to understand. No, no, no. But you have to understand. But you have to understand at this time, which I don't necessarily really believe, but they say that the sisters were doing this because they thought the world was over and they wanted to procreate.
Girl, fuck it. Me and my daddy gonna die.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, the Bible. Okay, and this is what I also want to say about let's macro level. The world is an imperfect, dangerous, wild place. It's also beautiful and magnificent. And like, we get to build these relationships. You guys have this massive podcast. It can be beautiful and it could
Jews
also be.
Jews knew it was coming.
Listen, the Jews did. No. Oh my God. I love Jewish men. But listen,
the ones with the little curls.
I love it all. You know, especially the tall ones that play basketball.
I've never been with a Jewish guy.
There's a Jewish basketball player?
I'm sure I can find one.
Oh, you mean you just see him around your neighborhood?
They look Jewish. Oh, that's terrible to say.
No, because I think you're in the Berg. So can I just say, Bible with Brianda will be coming out soon.
Oh my God.
I'm not fucking playing.
Bitch, yeah, that was cool.
That was also disgusting. Yes.
Oh, cool. I would love to continue discussing the more beautiful parts of the Bible.
Well, we do got time for another story. So what's the other one?
Judges is more or less the same story,
It's a book in the Bible.
I can tell you more.
The Bible.
It's in the book of Acts, and it's more or less the same storyline. Do you guys really want me to get into this?
Not the same storyline.
It really is sort of the same, but it involves a concubine. Do you guys know what that is? Okay, class.
So
don't raise your hand all at once.
I ain't gonna hold you. You know the only thing I thought about, but I know it's not what you're talking about. Is it a concubine? No, that's a succubus. I'm thinking of a demon.
So
bitch.
Once again, let's all hold hands and pray for Mandy's libido.
No, bitch, when you said it, okay. I'm thinking of like the demons in Charmed or something.
Is this somebody in prison?
No, no. It means so biblically, it means a side woman, a side piece.
Oh, me, bitch. I'm a concubine.
Oh my God.
Mandy was like, is that a porcupine? What do you mean?
No, she said, is that a porcupine? Yeah, no,
you're right.
You know what
I
mean?
So you know what? Let's save that story for another podcast. I do want to end it on one though, personally. I gave you guys that story. This story is going to be for me. So there's a story in the book of John, chapter 5, where Jesus goes out to the pool of Bethesda, which is where it's very kind of like the court square where a lot of people congregate and stuff. But at this point, Christ had, you know, the Gentiles and people that weren't Jewish, like were loved Jesus and believed that he was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was there kind of like Jesus was a rock star if we come to think about it. Right. He was out there, you know, showing the people his embrace and like preaching.
Shaking his dreads. Like, yeah. Throwing the mold and busting his head.
You know what I mean? And listen, he sees someone from the crowd and he sees a man who was on the ground, looked ill. He sees them and he approaches him and he goes, I'm going to heal you. And then goes off being a rock star. He then comes back to check on him. He's still on the ground. Jesus is like, brother, get up. I healed you. And all of a sudden, this man can walk again. And there's something in that chapter that really hits with me personally. And it was, and it said that man who he healed did not know who he was. And I think that's really important because it goes to show you that, when it comes to loving God and Christ for that matter, it doesn't matter about the bells and whistles and the blessings you may have. Like, I have all of this. That means I must be loved by God. No, God doesn't care about that. God sees you and God sees righteousness. It'd be like almost like lying in your journal, lying to yourself in your journal. Like, you can't lie to God. God right. knows. And he doesn't care about you going to church seven times a week and like all this other. He knows your soul. And that man didn't even know about Jesus, and Jesus healed him. Meanwhile, he was in a crowd of people who knew and loved him and was like, sign my titties, Jesus! Like, and he didn't care about that. Yes, exactly. And he did not. He chose the one who didn't.
Sign my titties.
And I think it's really important. Listen, I read the book of John on acid, and it was transformative. It was transformative. Wait,
let's give a little precursor. So, Brianda has a podcast.
Yeah, super church talk. Like,
a psychedelic Christian.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit.
Please, because the people are going to be listening, like, what type of Christian is this?
You're right.
You didn't get to explain. Yes. Explain real quick. So for the people that are now 45 minutes into listening to you, what your podcast is about so they can know you a little bit more.
For sure. So if anything, psychedelics was what brought me to Christ. Like, I was an atheist. I was like an atheist activist before all of this.
Okay.
So I would read the Bible, but it was only so I could like learn about it, so I could like debate people about it, really. I hoodwinked myself. Jesus got me. Jesus was like, just like you. So and I remember one of my favorite psychedelic comics, Duncan Trussell. He had a podcast and he was talking about being on mushrooms and reading the book of John. And I said, it was my first time doing psychedelics ever, was acid. And I said, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read the Bible and be on acid. And I was also really depressed at the time and like suicidal. And I was like, I need something else. I'll go to it. Fine. And it was just that line in particular really hit me. And I feel like we all have our, however way you get to Christ or however way you get to God or your own spirituality, whatever it's called. We all remember that first thing that cracked us open. Mm-hmm. And that was it for me, that line right there. It proved to me that it didn't matter that I haven't been baptized. It didn't matter that I didn't, you know, necessarily understand most of the Bible, because my relationship with Christ was individual and mysterious in my own. And it didn't matter about the bells and whistles, because I don't know, I found it and I felt this, I was like overcome by love.
Where's the parts in the Bible that they talk about celibacy? Like, have you read anything and you're like, oh my God, this is me, this is what I'm going to emulate? Like,
oh yeah. Okay, well, here in Ephesians.
Right, I'm like, but she got highlights.
There's so many. Okay, well, 1 Corinthians, which is I think the most famous book that Paul wrote, where people really broke it down, like immorality, what's good and what's not, lust and stuff. And it was the line that really got me and I was like, oh, I found home, was do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer.
Wait, this was in there?
Yeah. Wait, yes.
Say it again.
I'll repeat it.
Weezy gonna break it down.
Let's go line by line.
Yeah, line by line. Let's go.
So this is in terms of marriage.
And where is this
found? First Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 5.
Okay.
Do not deprive each other of sexual relationships. Unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy.
So basically, don't hold that pussy out unless
for a limited time.
But what is limited? What is time?
Because it's not, the Bible doesn't
3 days, bitch. Because I was one of God's chosen ones.
You know what?
Bitch, I got a 3-day period.
Oh my God.
But you don't know about that because you ain't been bleeding, huh?
You guys have to be. What are we going to wait?
Okay, guys, you just got, by the way, congratulations on, what's the new podcast called?
See the Thing Is.
We're going to have another one, but it's going to be
called Jesus Said the Thing Was.
Biblical Edition. Yes. That's exactly what it's going to be.
Oh, I like that too. But that's what maybe the Bible with Brianda could be. The Bible, you could say it all, born thou art
Brianda,
child.
I don't know why you never wanted to do this.
No,
anyway.
This is great.
I brought it up to you.
Bro, you got four pages.
You didn't say it
Leviticus,
like this.
Gospel.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love hearing you talk about drugs because I'm
Can
there.
I be honest with you?
But this
I'm a performer. So when I'm in front of a mic, I tap dance.
And I love Jesus.
No, this is great.
I do. I
you
love
just
to
said,
perform.
Jesus like thought he did it.
Listen, whatever. That's what he said.
this.
All right, wait. We do have time for a little bit more. Do you have before one we get side into our story? Maybe it'll take around 5 minutes because we've got a whole...
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Okay, wait. If we got time, then I'll
do... Girl, 5 minutes. That's the time for home mail.
No, I can do... I can do judges.
Okay, let's do judges.
Okay, dope. So judges is just as wicked and gory as Sodom.
Like blood? Because I don't like blood.
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe, actually. I mean, with all the rape they were doing, probably. All right. So... this story is about Levite and his concubine.
We gotta take out the clip of us laughing.
No, we don't.
So this is Levite, normal. This man Levite, he had a girlfriend, a concubine, and she cheated on him, actually. Which, by the way, just because they weren't considered a wife, didn't mean that the men didn't have a relationship with them. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I did feel that he felt something for her. She cheated on him, and then after she did, she went back home because Levite actually stole the concubine. There was a lot of that going on.
Sounds like a Jewish last name. Dr. Levite.
You know what?
You know, I'm having migraines all the time, doctor. And, you know, it's my daughter, Amanda. She gets on my damn nerves. Oh. She thinks she's doing a podcast. She's just got too much going on. She's always calling me all the time. Levite, I need you
to help
me.
Oh, my God. Weren't you an accountant? Were there a bunch of Jews there?
They be doing law. I mean, bullshit law.
Oh, I bet.
What's
I
bullshit mean, law?
Penny pension.
The one where you get paid for being in a car accident.
Oh.
They be doing all of them shits. But no, there was only one Jew on my floor.
Thank you for informing me about.
And we do that because, bitch, it got to be busy season. What is it? Right before the 9/15 day, Kapoor, whatever.
Rum Kapoor. Get me out of here.
But the nigga.
Yom Kapoor, man, you know what it is. You know what it is. Rum Kapoor.
Shoshana Sabatu.
Whatever. Shoshana. I knew they was cool.
Whatever it was, the nigga said, well, I can't be at work. And we was like, oh, it is busy season.
Oh, my God.
We was mad. We was like, well, then we all Let Jewish. We ain't coming to work
my either. Fucking boss. Now, y'all know I ain't shit. But my boss at the time, when I was working two companies before, Yom Kippur was coming and Rosh Hashanah, right? And I was like, I'm about to get this Monday off. I was like, hey, TJ, I just wanted you to know Rosh Hashanah is coming. And he looked at me. He goes, when the fuck have you ever been a Jew? When the fuck have you ever?
For a day off, I am.
He said, gee, answer me this question. What do you eat every morning? I said, I don't want to say anything. And I was like, a sausage McMuffin. And what is in that sausage McMuffin? I thought it was beef. Yo, and I damn sure didn't go to work on Monday. I said, well, human resources knows I'm a Jew. I almost said my last name. It is the most Jewish last name anyone has ever
Your
seen.
Your whole name is
Let me
Jewish.
Tell you
Jewish
something.
Jewish as fuck.
When I fucking call and type in those real estate companies, they call me back, so you're Jewish. Absolutely. I mean, what a pleasure it is. And whenever I'm being discriminated against, I'd be like, wow, Yo. Is it this or this name? What is it? Tell me. My name is so Jewish, it has a in the fucking
yeah, it really does.
Okay. Anyway, so how Jewish was Dr. Levite?
Oh my God. Not Jewish enough. Okay, wait. So she cheats. So she ends up leaving. So once she cheats on Levite, she leaves. She's probably unhappy, as most side bitches are. So he goes out and she goes to her father's house, and because that's where she used to live. She goes there. And you know what Levite does? He goes after her. Because she was gone for 4 months. 4 months. His side piece was done. Gone. Mm-hmm. He was alone. He was lonely. He was missing her.
Ghosted just like when you got ghosted. No,
it wasn't sucking his dick the way this concubine was sucking it. That's
not
where.
Not the concubine.
So wait. So Levite goes to her father's house. And he treats her with, like I said, hospitality, which is a very common theme. And he goes, oh, my God, hey. He's known as the father-in-law, actually.
Okay.
So he stays there for a number of days. And he convinces the concubine to please come back with me. Please. I don't know whatever we went through. It's kind of like a testament of, like, working things out. Like, for couples that, like, experience, you know, cheating and stuff. No relationship is perfect, okay? And even if the relationship you think are perfect, they're not talking about their issues. That's the problem.
Right.
But I think that's part of the book was, that's what I gathered from that. Anyways, let's fast forward this a little bit. So he ends up leaving with his donkey and his and a bunch of food and wine and his concubine. And on their voyage, they ran past this town that was similar to Sodom. The name is failing me right now, but it'll come to me. And the concubine was like, we can't stay here. There's a bunch of pagan shit happening here. We got to go somewhere else. And he was like, no, we're going to be fine. Don't worry. Listen.
Pagan shit for you guys is like kind of witchcrafty stuff. Mm-hmm. Things that they felt to be magical or too little.
Exactly. So they find themselves at another court square. It's Levi and his concubine and his donkeys and his shit, and no one would be hospitable with him. No one would invite him in. That's how they are there. That's what God really talks about, like the people who don't share, who like are closed off. He doesn't fuck with that. But eventually an old man sees them in the court square and is like, you guys, what are y'all doing here?
Everybody keep coming up down to the Elliot.
Listen, like legit, y'all gotta get back in here. No, seriously, this is not good. Mm-hmm. This had to have been the one righteous man in that town. Mm-hmm. Seriously. And they found him. They take him in, right? And then Levite's like, thank you so much. You know, the concubine's like, all right, baby, let's go to the back. Like, okay, we fine. And then all of a sudden, again. The whole town is outside the old man's house again.
What?
The same, and in the story, it's very similar to Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, seriously. And they go, we want to get to know your new visitors. Get to know them carnally, which again, we already know means rape you, gang rape you, whatever. And then the old man's like, no, please don't. Take the concubine instead. Bitches. They give him the concubine.
They offered up the side chick?
Yeah. And guess what? They fuck her. All of the town fucks her. And for hours, she ends up going somewhere else and coming back morning after and collapses on the ground. And then Levite sees her on the ground and he goes, get up. He sees that she's not moving. He goes, bitch, get up. She's dead. And he is so pissed. He cuts her body up in 12 pieces.
Bruh, shut up, bruh.
Oh, of course. And wait, let me tell you.
He ate it.
No.
No.
He cuts the pieces, everybody, limb by limb, mm-hmm. and he sends them to the nations, to the other 12 nations, so that they can see how terrible and disgusting and horrible the town of Benjaminites. Those are the people that fucked that concubine up, and it basically was a turning point for like showing them how vile they were, even though he did a vile act by
one. He did a whole vile act.
For sure. I mean, there's there's a lot of
you ain't got in the Bible. How long it takes to ship shit right. out. It must have been stinking.
Oh, that's a very good thought. You're right.
That's a very good thought.
No, but it's true. And he sent it, but he did that in order to show them just how vile these people were, which if you really think about it, Levite, no one's more vile than you. You're the one that offered her up. You're the one that like cut her up one. But if you're thinking about this through the context of biblical times, he really wanted to show like, no, those people are fucked up. Like I told you can have her for a little.
That's kind of right.
Y'all took it too far. Anyways, the Bible is a wild thing.
That's some fucked up.
But again,
up
those
shit.
Are the two stories that, like, listen, people want to skip typically. The Bible is also beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had to memorize them books.
A lot of them skip it, and that's a common thing in a lot of Abrahamic Christian religions.
My mouth is open because I just felt like I watched a TV show.
Oh man, what a compliment coming from you. That's huge.
Oh, you're welcome because
That was exciting.
It was. When you said cut her up, I was like, I thought he ate her.
I loved how
I was
stories.
Like, right, you, oh, I love no, you, guys. You did a good job. Now, hey, just so y'all know, just like she said, she ain't a pastor. No, y'all can go back and read them books if you want and interpret it another way because we know that the Bible is not really written
I'm glad
in clear
that
English.
You told them where to find it.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Who was that? John Levite? Okay. Mm.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Now, on for the whole confession.
Yes.
We haven't had a confession in a while. I appreciate this. I don't know where it comes from, but here we go. Hello, hoes. I'm an avid male listener and a white bread sex haver. FYI.
What does that mean?
A white bread. Sex haver. It's
what's a haver?
Sex haver.
Sounds kind of
corny. Haver?
No, like he
has sex?
White bread sex.
So wait, he's white? This man is white?
He sounds white.
So we got a white male listener?
This is why he had a dream about me.
Had to be.
I had been reluctant to share my dream because I didn't really want to I don't want to read like a sleazo. Dude, you're already weird.
You said you're a sex haver.
Didn't think y'all would care. Me, you, and Mandy. Yeah, I dragged you into this. We were leaving the club late.
You could have left me out.
Wheezy and me started messing around on the way to the SUV parked down the street. Mandy rolled her eyes and bounced out of disgust.
Good. Valid. I like where this is going.
Anyway, Wheezy was giving that grade A oral that she brags about. Excuse me?
You were sucking the white paint.
But after a while, she got frustrated that I hadn't come yet. She dropped her hands to the side, looked up at me like, really, nigga?
Really?
Oh, my, he typed that out.
Wait, this is a white man and he typed the N-word?
What's a white?
Wait.
A white bread sex haver?
He's white bread. He's breaded white.
He likes having sex with white, plain, vanilla girls.
Maybe he likes white bread. Look, maybe white people.
Why are you sitting here trying to give him some
gluten-free?
No, I don't think a white dude wrote, really, nigga.
Wait, and there's no asterisk in it?
He wrote, Wheezy looked up at me, dropped her hands aside like, really, nigga? Which I would do, but not for you. You looking it up? What's white bread?
How do you spell white bread?
Like
B-R-E-D.
No, B-R-E-A-D.
Oh, wait, white bread?
That's what I'm saying.
Going to the class of bland, clean cut, middle of the
That's what I mean.
Suburban, urbanite.
Okay, so he's just suburban.
Yeah, straight and arrow.
Let me see what his email is. Anyway.
Look, we thought that the N-word. Bitch, you can't say it. You can't sing it. You can't write it.
Wait, white people can't.
It's not necessarily racial in meaning. It's just an implication of blandness, predictability.
Oh, he's bland.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, bitch, when you put white bread in the toaster, it be tasting good.
Yes, amen.
Okay. It ain't that bland, but okay. Well, let's go. Let's get past the N-word.
Reluctantly, she climbed into the back of the SUV, rolled on her back, threw her legs behind her head easily, as she had on a short dress. Her eyes were absolutely shooting daggers at me out of disgust while I was over her thrusting. You sick fuck. I woke up laughing, but not on some dumb, I was able to hold out on that head or whatever shit. I just imagine that she totally would have fucking killed me. Thanks for reading, bestie both. Signed, the proud masturbator.
Okay.
You are a fucking weirdo. I don't know.
Don't do that. We all have
He's listening
dreams.
To this right now. Like,
I'm not talking about his dream being weird. I'm talking about the white bread.
That's what's up. You can't put white in context and then say nigga. 3 sentences later.
So that damn show was like, and I thought you were a sex haver.
Wait, I have a question. Can white people not spell it out either?
No!
Okay, hey, I'm black, bitch. Okay, I'm fine. I was just curious.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
Because
there's a whole lot of rules.
Yes, Jules wore that really nigga t-shirt or whatever it was. And niggas let her have it. She was like, it was just a shirt. She was not. You know what's worse?
Yeah.
Yes, Jules got increasingly worse. Like, I feel like she wasn't that bad that many years ago. It was like, okay, she's a white girl, like, trying
the
to get down.
The internet tore her to pieces,
like,
off
no, but they were kind of right. And then when she did that interview and was like talking about every black woman and just, oh, and Karen Civil was in Haiti taking a picture with kids too. What?
Yeah.
Was that on Z-Way's show? Z-Way?
Maybe.
Oh, you guys got to watch that show.
And honestly, what bothered me about that most, it's like, I don't really know Karen Civil, but if she was being phony, at least her black ass did some shit that we are saying that it's not the same problem we have with you. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
no, it makes sense.
You profiting off of the culture and trying to be down so bad. Why are you telling us about a black woman who?
Well, that was the problem too. She also was recorded saying that black women are just jealous of her because when she walks into the room, she has the same body type as a black woman, black men want her more.
Now, let me tell you, that's very interesting.
For sure, a problem.
The dude that said he felt like she could say nigga.
Was it like Soulja Boy or something?
No. It was the guy that she was interviewing. That was interviewing her, some black dude. Damn, I can't remember his name right now, but y'all know who he is because he's popular, but not. So we're walking down the street, me and Old Bay. This is back in like November. What were we doing that night? We went to Andrew's show. Walking down the street, they knew each other. So they say, what's up? And whoever recognized who, Old Bay was like, oh yeah, she does a podcast, da, 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 da. And I'm like, why do I know you? And he was like, oh, I have a show as well. I was like, aren't you the guy who gave Yes Jules the pass to say nigga? Because no one asked for you to do that.
Nigga,
Old Bay was like, looking at me like, bitch, are you serious? Mind you, we're in front of a club getting in because the dude was like, let's collab, let's go.
Jesus.
Kill us something. What was his name?
I don't know.
Oh my God, it's going to fucking burn a hole in my heart. I want to make sure I'm addressing the person correctly that told this Caucasian woman she could say it. Crazy. He's like, so you Spanish? You good? You can say nigga? Absolutely not. And I'm so tired of niggas that know black women have been hurt by somebody.
Right.
They're just like, fuck them. You mm-hmm. go ahead. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's
like,
trash.
It was one of the most embarrassing things to watch from her. And then what made it even worse, it's like you watch people that we all know that's in the industry, then they're like kind of just skipping over it and they just don't fuck with her. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And she still wears box braids.
Oh, she does.
Very blonde.
Didn't she have them on the other day?
And yeah. tackly.
I don't know. So I feel like that's awful. Not going to go anywhere. I feel like white people are still going to do the hairstyles.
Oh, yeah. The blackfishing.
For sure.
The blackfishing.
The blackfishing. Anyways, Brianda, let our listeners know once again. Thank you again for joining us. If you guys liked her.
Brianda, it's coming.
If you guys loved her, you guys can join our Patreon.
I'll hold you to that.
And there are two episodes with Brianda on there, right? We've done two with you.
We did one with your former co-host, a Caucasian.
And a Caucasian.
And then we
had to get rid of her.
And then we did one. And then we did one with just you most recently, more recently.
Colorism.
Yeah. So
someone just referenced you too about how your sister and you were.
They did in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to go ahead and let them know where they can find you.
You guys, I love you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Again, my name is Brianda. You can find me on all the things, Twitter, Instagram at That's Brianda. And you can also follow my podcast, Super Trip Talk, at Super Trip Talk on all things. If you have any more questions, you can go to supertriptalk.com too.
She's not very active on Instagram.
I'm not, but I'm about to be.
But she needs to be. Murder Mook, that was his name.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, check out Brianda.
Fuck him, but follow me.
You said kill us something, but murder, same shit.
Got you, bitch.
See where you was going. Well, guys, make sure you guys check out Brianda's show.
That's right.
Again, she's amazing, and I guess y'all will probably get to hear her tell Bible stories before 2020 is over. Or if not, the top of 2021, I guess we're speaking
into existence. We got to do Bible shit. But check us out on Patreon. We do live town halls every month. It's super fun. These are our most up-to-date episodes that you guys can get with Mandy and I is every Monday on our Patreon. Not every Monday. It's really normal.
Every three Mondays.
Three Mondays a month. Other than that, well, let me try to do the spiel. You can listen to Period Sis with Mandy. Then tomorrow, you can listen to See the Thing Is, and you can listen to For Fact's Sake. Okay, let's go. Peace.
All right. Make sure you check it out. Stay tuned for the 5-minute bonus clip. Bye. Yeah,
I know where I don't want to start. No, I'm just kidding. Let's start with Ashley and Michael, because that's really where I don't want to go.
You know what's crazy? I'm not sure if the rest of y'all agree. Let me know in the chat. But I actually am liking Ashley more this season than I've liked her in previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think that baby has done her motherfucking good. I think she grew up a little bit. But I do think that is why she is still going through shit with Mr. Michael. Mm-hmm. She admitted this season that they have added people to the bedroom. And he came out recently and was like, I don't feel like you're married to me anymore. You show all of your attention to the baby. And she also opened up about how she doesn't want to swing anymore. And he's like, well, shit. You ain't giving me attention and you don't want to do this anymore. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't like what he said in the therapy session, but he pretty much just feels like he's not having the same sexual relationship with Ashley as when they first started their relationship. What are your views on that, Asante? And Tammy, I see Tammy raise her hand. Raise your hand so that we can talk about what y'all's thoughts are on Ashley and Michael Darby's relationship. But Asante, we'll start with you.
Yeah, while you tally them up, let me just start with, I don't have any favorites. I hate them all equally. I mean, they all really play in the mess, which is why we're here, right? It's just, right. I don't like the play in the mess where we're going to hide our hand because of respectability politics thing that we're doing. I get that that's where they think that they are, but they're really not. So I just need that veil dropped. Now, to get back to Ashley and why I hate her, Michael wanted to hold having a baby over. You wanted to hold that over her head because of the way that her mom was. That should have been a huge red flag of, do you want to go half with this white man who really wants to say, you know, who wants to emotionally abuse you? And then we're going to open up this conversation about, you know, letting people into the bedroom, right? Michael, since season one, has grabbed ass on camera. Now, unless we gonna do the red table talk with Will and Jada, if Will need to come too and we need everybody to be accountable, let's go on ahead and say not only do we open our bedroom up, but we open it up to both sexes so everybody can stop motherfucking asking about the gay shit. Because Michael, you didn't even talk about why you told this woman you had a wife and a boyfriend. We didn't go back there.
Are you waiting to go back there? Because that has not been brought up again. And I was wanting more details on that.
Ashley cleared up the fact that the fact that there was a nigga in the room, or you know, that he did go up with said woman, but did not clear up why he told said woman he got a wife and a boyfriend. So yeah, y'all are you saying, who's this boyfriend? You know, I don't care if you got asked, like, you know, have we slept with him before, or like, you know, however you need to feel comfortable normalizing it, you need to do it, because quit pussyfooting around and then arguing with black old ass Bill Gates who don't love his damn wife no more, like on the reunions. That should just be so. Sorry, wrong segue.
No, so I'm not going to lie. And I'm about to let Mia talk on this topic as well. But I think that that's my problem. And we've talked about it, if you guys noticed, not only with Red, but Zach, who was our guest this week. We've had bisexual men on the show. And I think it may come to where maybe Ashley doesn't want to admit that she is okay with Michael being bisexual. So I think she used the swinging as a way to like let it just be known that, yeah, we allow other people into the bedroom. But I think for whatever reason, there's still shame in women admitting that they're okay with being with a man that may like to play with men. And that's just, I think, where she finds not being okay with admitting. She would rather just be like, y'all, we're swingers and we let other people in the room. Mia, if you can go ahead and unmute, what you got to say about the Darbies, sis?
So, can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Just fine.
Okay, so it definitely in the beginning didn't like either one of them. I did feel like Ashley was always doing the most, always in everybody's business, all that. I do feel like Asante said, what I think about Michael is like he just kept moving the goalpost on Ashley, like, and now. Yep. She has gotten to the goalpost finally. Like, he held the damn baby. And then it was, you know, now it's, you're not here for me, but her baby is fresh out.